Eyeball 3000, mostly because we couldn't think of another name for the theme. So we're just calling it iBible now. It's kind of cheesy. We just put, you know, if you put something Mac-like or Apple-like on anything, we just assume that it makes it cool. And I'm kind of right on that, right? iBible? Anyway. Except as soon as you buy the iBible 2 comes out, and then it's negligible. So we've been doing a thing on scripture. Last week, my brother preached an awesome sermon on, what was the actual topic? Because I remember what you talked about. Oh, anyway. It was really, really good. It was like interpretation of scripture, how some people get it wrong, but they really think they get it right, and some people get it right, but they mistakenly think they got it wrong. So we're just trying to debunk a lot of the stuff that happens when people read their Bible, take something generally out of scripture or out of context, and then they just run with it, and then we are sadly, as a group of Christians, I mean, this is kind of like worldwide now I'm speaking with very, very broad statements. We are kind of known as a group that is intolerable and close-minded to any other ideas other than the one that we birthed in our own heads. Sadly. So we might, as individuals, we might not be like that, but as a group, that's kind of how we're painted. So what we would like to do, at least as one campus of one church in one city in one country in one nation of the world, we at least can change our attitudes about it and help to see some sort of like a revival, like a renewal of how we view the world and how the world views us and how we view the Bible and how we can use it as a tool. So we were going to do a different theme today. I sidetracked because I wanted to talk about this instead. And I'm the pastor, so I can't. So we're going to be talking about dreams in scripture, which is something that's very close to my heart. Anybody else here have like crazy dreams, like capital C, crazy dreams, like ever since you can remember, like from this age where you're like, Mommy, I had a dream about blah, blah, blah. And she's like, we're going to pray for you. Or, like I used to do actually when I was a child, and still sometimes this happens to this day, and that's why I have my mom around to tell me what's reality and what in my childhood was indeed a dream. I will actually still remember something. Some of my dreams were so vivid, and because when you're a kid, you just kind of take everything at face value, I will still sometimes confuse my facts with my dreams now. Like I'll be like, oh yeah, did we do that thing, you know, with a guy? Or I remember when I was really little, I was trying, like earnestly trying to explain to my mom, you know, that one time where the Indians came and they were shooting us, we were all hiding under the kitchen table. And she's like, Sarah, that didn't happen. I'm like, I can still remember it happening. They were shooting, what, you were there, we were under the kitchen table. And then slowly I was like, maybe that was a dream. But in my mind, I was like, no, what, the Indians, I mean, when you're little, you don't know that Indians couldn't come in and shoot you. And I guess I was watching too much TV. So here are some of, in scripture, actually, it's amazing to dig into dreams, dream interpretation, and scripture. I do not have half the amount of time. There's an amazing leader, actually, at the School of Ministry. You guys will all know her, Sarah Jackson. She is like, in my mind anyway, at our church, she's kind of like the authority on all things dream and dream interpretation. She's flipping amazing. She really has dedicated years and years and years of her own personal study to this topic. So if you actually want to get into it, I would recommend like asking her about it. She's done amazing teachings. I don't have the time to talk to you about that today, so this is just going to whet your appetite. So these are some of the ways that the scriptures call dreams. It can be anything from a vision, which I've actually had. Technically, it happens at nighttime, but my eyes are open. But it's like really real. It's as if it's happening in my room, but I know I'm actually awake and coherent for it. But it's sort of like a dream, but it's sort of like a vision. Anyone else with me on that one? Right, me and Ruth, yes. Okay, so it could be called a vision in the night, thoughts upon your bed. That could even happen like before you go to sleep or after you wake up. Anybody else, like once you wake up, so technically you're awake, but you just have some like really crazy thought or some image or like a God thought in your head and you're like, that's so real, that's more real than my bed right now. And then as you go about your day, you're like, what was that thing again? But when you wake up, it's like, it's right there. I love those. Visions in my head, visions of your head upon your bed, and night vision. I don't know why I wrote those all down. Anyway. Well, praise the Lord. Okay, so here are some of the ways that dreams can come to us, okay? I'm going to go through two and then very briefly a third. I don't want to give the third too much time, and I'll explain to you why. Number one, dreams can come from God. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. That's awesome, right? Pretty much we can say that everything's from the Lord. Like, God's in all and through all, and all things are held together, like, through him. So there really aren't even, like, three different ways that you can get dreams. There's really just one, God, because, I mean, you're here because he exists. However, we won't get into that philosophy. Basically, there are some dreams that you just wake up from and you're like, oh, that was such a God dream. You feel good. You feel kind of gushy inside. You're like, oh, I had a dream once. I remember it was so real when I woke up that I was napping beside a lion. And I was like, I could feel the fur. And it wasn't like a dog fur. It was like coarse fur. Like I could feel. It was kind of like, if you went one way, it was kind of sharp. And the other way was soft. And it was warm. And it was like breathing like this. And I was like, ugh. And I woke up and I'm like, I want a lion now. That I totally know is a God dream. It was amazing. And then sometimes dreams, the second place that dreams can primarily come from is from our own heads. There's a lot of stuff going on. Often I find that people who are big dreamers, that they dream a lot and crazy dreams, are also big thinkers. So you just got a lot of stuff going on here anyway. And at nighttime, your body's like, oh, thank God. The body is finally like, the mind has just shut up for half a second, so I'm going to sort through all this crap that you've been thinking throughout the day and kind of mix it up and throw in a train and maybe a clown, and then there's a dream. And you're like, whoa, and you wake up and you're like, what does it mean, Lord? And sometimes God's like, y'all just need to chill out more often and maybe soak before you sleep. So a dream comes when there are many cares. Sometimes you just dream about the things that are stressing you out during the day, and then they carry on throughout the evening. Isn't that nice? And then you wake up more tired than when you went to sleep. I hate those ones. Sometimes, actually, in my stress, I will actually wake up. I sometimes will get stress-related migraines. I will go to sleep with no migraine. I will wake up with a migraine because that's how stressful my dreams were. And I'm like, that was not a good night. So I just have to give that all to the Lord as well. And here's another thing. Sometimes, what? There we go. Sometimes a dream will just come out of our own desires. So the things that were kind of, even in the back part of our mind. So Freud kind of had it right where he was like dreams actually are the subconscious, like having a little dance, you know, in your brain while you're asleep and you can't control it. We'll get to that too. So as when a hungry person dreams of eating but awakens hungry still, or when a thirsty person dreams of drinking but awakes faint and thirsty still. So sometimes you will just dream about the test that you're just about to take, or about that girl or boy that you have a huge crush on. You're like, it's a vision from the Lord. I'm supposed to marry them because we were like doing it in my dream. So that's a vision from the Lord, right? And then you go to your small group leader and they're like, maybe it's just because you've been thinking about them too much. So don't go and tell them that you're supposed to be their spouse, because that might creep them out and ruin any chance that you had of actually dating them. So I love this. There's another verse in Ecclesiastes that says, much dreaming and many words are meaningless. So sometimes there's just the simple, just the sheer amount of dreaming. Sometimes there's just dream upon dream upon dream. Sometimes you're going through a really hard time in your life, and it can just be like every night there's another dream, there's another dream. What I am telling the people who dream a lot today is don't worry. What I am telling the people who don't dream a lot is also don't worry. If you have dreams and you can remember them, that's cool. If you don't, we're actually going to do some ministry for that later on. But if you have if you just have dreams upon dreams and they're crazy and there's like dragons and fire and you're freaked out, or not everything means something. In addition, it's God who instructs us at night. So if he really gave you a prophetic dream and he wanted you to find an answer for it, he's going to give you the answer. You don't have to freak out about it. If anything, if you freak yourself out every time you go to bed about some sort of prophetic dream and you have to interpret it right away, your dreams are only going to get more and more crazy because your brain's so churned up. Does that make sense? Sometimes I can just make myself like nutty at nighttime and I wake up and I'm like, Andrew, all these dreams. I remember I had a series of like really, really creepy, disturbing dreams where if I have a really, really bad dream, I wake up Andrew and he prays for me. And it's cute. Sometimes he prays and he's really there. And sometimes he's like, I just bless my wife and blessed in pieces. Peace now. Amen. And he goes back to sleep. And I'm like, I feel better. And then the next day, sometimes he's like, he sort of remembers it, but doesn't. But sometimes I had these series of three or four, I can't remember, in a row of like like bad dream after bad dream. And I was like, oh my gosh, what does it mean? And Andrew reminded me, I mean, for some reason I didn't really think of this, that I had just been hospitalized with a kidney infection. And I was there overnight in ER, and I had like the IV in my arm, and I had antibiotics. So my body was sorting through things. It was an uncomfortable situation to even live through. And sometimes your spirit and your soul are just kind of processing things. So I actually took those series of dreams. I didn't like interpret them. I didn't dissect them. I didn't journal them all out, all their gory details, and be like, why, Lord, what does it mean? Is it for the nations? Andrew's like, well, really, you just went through a semi-traumatic experience. You're probably just dealing with it at nighttime. I was like, oh, yeah. And then they went away. Here are some, not all, but some of dreams mentioned in Scripture. There are warning dreams, revelatory dreams, so exposing something, entrepreneurial dreams. Who here is like called to business or enjoys business or is just good at business? Maybe you don't even like it. Entrepreneurial dreams. Did you know that Jacob, remember Jacob was a bit of a cheat? He was always like lying to people and like going around people's backs and cheating them out of their birthrights. He was a bit of a pain in the butt, right? You know when he took the spotted goats and the speckled goats and he mated them together and he basically just swiped all of Laban's flocks, like one at a time, like one spring after another. You guys, it's kind of an obscure story in the Bible. Do you know where he got that idea to breed the goats together and to basically just take all of Laban's flocks? From an angel of the Lord in a dream. I just love that. God's like, hey, psst. I know I shouldn't be telling you this. It's like insider information. He's like, I shouldn't be telling you this, but Laban's been a bit of a jerk. He did the whole like sister swap on you. I understand. Why don't you just take these goats and these goats? Trust me, it's going to work. I just breed them together. I get back to me later. And he wakes up and he's like, I'm totally a rich man. Why? Because of a dream. It's so cool. Anyway, entrepreneurial dreams, destiny dreams, dreams that tell you where you're about to go. And a couple of brackets that I forgot to close. Wow, I am tired. Destiny dreams. So Joseph, for example, everybody remembers Joseph being like, hey guys, guess what? I had this awesome dream where you guys are all going to bow down to me. Isn't that awesome? And no one thought it was awesome except for him, obviously. Even his dad's like, that's not cool. But destiny dreams. So some dreams that are telling you where you're going to go or what you're going to be. Some of them are promotional dreams. And in that, I mean, they're actually set up to make you look good. So Nebuchadnezzar and Pharaoh, they had dreams. They had tons of astrologers. God could have given the interpretation to any one of those astrologers, and they could have been like, oh, this is the, you know, the meaning of your dream, and Pharaoh would have promoted them, and they would have gone on happy. But instead, he gave the job of interpreting to Daniel, and to Nebuchadnezzar gave it to Daniel, and Pharaoh gave it to Joseph to get them promoted. So sometimes you'll even hear about people who have dreams, they can't for the life of them, or it's really bothering them or irritating them, or they've had repetitive dreams and they don't know what it means. And you'll just be in the right place at the right time to actually make you look good. Because God's like, I'll give you the answer, and then you're going to look really awesome, okay? Promotional dreams, isn't that cool? Political dreams. So often God will give, political dreams. I'll get back to that in a second. And sometimes it's conversational dreams. Now, this is where I've only just started to delve into this a little bit. Andrew knows what I'm talking about lucid dreaming. Now, if you thought that dreams were like kind of creepy to begin with, maybe you want to give yourself some time. But lucid dreaming is actually where you can be in a dream and you're like, I am right now in a dream. I am going to do this thing. And then you do this thing instead of just things randomly happening to you. And so it's really cool to see that this actually happened in Scripture. For example, everybody knows that Solomon was the wisest king, yeah? And where did he get his wisdom from? From God. And who asked him if he wanted wisdom, basically? God, right? Did you know that whole conversation where God was like, what do you want of me? Ask me anything. And Solomon's like, well, if I ask for riches or women or like castles or whatever, you'll give them to me. But really all I want is wisdom because I know all this other stuff will come too. Again, he was sleuthy. He was like, well, it's like a genie. I wish for more wishes. And God looked at that and he was like, I am pleased. You are smart. I will give you wisdom and all this other stuff too. All that conversation that happened was in a dream. So that meant God was like, hey, Solomon, what's up? When he was asleep. And Solomon was like, hey, God, what's up? And they were having this conversation. And God said in scripture, he said God was pleased with Solomon's answer in a dream. So that means you can actually please God with what you're doing in your dreams, whatever that might be. Isn't that so cool? I've been in lots of dreams where I've had to like hack snakes' heads off, or like stab. I'm often stabbing things in my dream. Poor Andrew. But honestly, I will be either like running from someone with a gun or a sword, or I have a gun or a sword myself, and I'm like, sah, sah. I'm like really brutal too, like, one, so bad. Should I even go into it? Anyway, once it was a bad guy, okay? It wasn't like any of y'all or anything. So it was a really bad guy, and there was another bad guy behind them, and I went like this, sah! And I like stabbed him through the face, and it stabbed the other guy through the face too, and I was like, yes! And I don't even watch violent movies. I don't know where this is coming from. I was just like, I just feel so awesome in my dreams. And I can fly. So, and I can swim underwater. I'm so much awesomer in my dreams. I wish you could meet me. But what is cool is you can actually please God with your actions. So what I would recommend, if dreams are a very foreign territory for you, and you're kind of like, I don't know, sometimes they kind of freak me out. I don't feel like I actually have any control over them. I don't understand them. Then just take time, I would say, the easiest way, take time before you go to sleep and pray to Holy Spirit and just be like, Holy Spirit, I give you my dreams. I give you my dream life. I give you my nighttime, and be with me in my dreams. And you'll start to see, it might not be like Jesus coming with the white robe and like the blue sash and being like, hi, what's up? I'm in your dream now. Because he would walk like this, Jesus, I think. I'm joking. He wouldn't really. It's just kind of weird that I did that. But I have a feeling that a lot of you will start to dream about lions. You'll start to dream about maybe your dad. If your dad was a really strong, like, kind character, your dad will show up in dreams or someone equivalent to that. So you'll be like, I don't know, this teacher that I had in grade 5 was in my dream. It's probably a dream about my teacher in grade 5 and I should call them because it's prophetic. Well, hold on. First of all, let's just try to figure out what that person is in relation to you. What do they stand for? And a lot of times people will be like, oh, actually, my grade 5 teacher was like the nicest, kindest, most encouraging, most insightful person I think in my whole life. Like, they were very influential. And you can start to trace that back and be like, I think that was Jesus, based on what they tell you to do and what the interaction is. Were they keeping you safe? Were they giving you information? Were they telling you you were awesome? That could be a Jesus type in your dream. Then dreams become a lot more kind of cool. Let's just go back to this political dreams for a second, because a lot of people, not often, sometimes people who dream are also matched with prophetic personalities. And then you have this like wonderful chemistry experiment where sparks are going off everywhere and every dream is like prophetic and for the nations. I kind of laugh about that because I would, my own dreams included, I would make the stand as a dreamer, as a pastor, and as someone gifted prophetically, that the chances are your dreams are actually only insight insofar as what you have authority over. Does that make sense? Pharaoh had a dream about the course of Egypt. Chances are I might not. I'm giving you this as like a cautionary. I might not have a dream about the course of history for Canada, because I'm not Stephen Harper. Does that make sense? But God might actually give you a prophetic dream about your workplace, or about your school, or about a group of friends, something that you actually have authority over, because a lot of people, what they'll do is they'll wake up having a dream about a person or a group of people or a nation, and immediately will think, this is the word, thus saith the Lord, and they will go up to that person and be like, you died of cancer in my dream, totally make the person panic, and really, it maybe that person has to do with something in their own life. It was actually symbolic. Most of dreams, I'd say like predominantly, I don't even know, I can't give it a percentage, but most of dreams are just simply symbolic. So let's get better at decoding them rather than thinking that, you know, we have the prophetic word of the Lord and we're, you know, like shouting it out from what's this called? This thing here? I have baby brain, like pulpit from the pulpit. Some people have a ministry in prophetic dreams, and they actually do have keys to nations, keys to the future, keys to prophetic things. I would say that that's a small amount of people, And so again, if you dream about a certain guy or girl, doesn't necessarily mean you're going to marry them. Let's try to work out what the symbols are, because it could just have to do with a lot of cares in your life portraying themselves on the screen of your brain when you're sleeping. The third place that dreams often come from is from the enemy. The reason I mention this, and I put the enemy in quotes, and often Andrew and I, when we preach about the enemy, we'll make it a small e enemy instead of the big e enemy, because we don't like to give credit where credit isn't due. So, for example, I had four terrifying dreams in the night. I did not go into spiritual warfare thinking Satan is upon me and the darkness is closing around me and I will fight all the demons on my own. Because God is so much bigger than that. And basically, when I looked at it, I realized it was from something traumatic. So a small e enemy was, I was scared when I had a kidney infection. The IV hurt. I didn't like being at the hospital without my husband for a night. These were all very normal fears and concerns to have. It wasn't big E enemy, Satan raining his like hordes of evilness upon me. It was just me sorting out my small E enemy fears. Sometimes we're our own worst enemy. So I don't really like giving a lot of credit to the enemy. Often, one of my most terrifying dreams that I still remember I had when I was really young was because there was a death in the family. That's a perfectly natural way to deal with something that is traumatic. It's not necessarily Satan being like, I'm choosing you to give you all my evil dreams to. You know what I mean? Anyway, I like making the enemy smaller and God bigger, because that's the true proportion. So here's some interpretation and where it comes from. We're just going to go through these verses really fast. These were two people that had dreams in jail, and these are the scriptures. If you want to write it down to study further, you can. They basically tell Joseph, we both had dreams, but there's no one to interpret them. Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams. Here's Joseph and Pharaoh. Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream and no one can interpret it. But I have heard it said that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. I cannot do it. Joseph replied to Pharaoh, but God will give Pharaoh the answer he desires. Which again, if we just say all dreams and all interpretation come from God, we will cancel out like a major proportion of our problems that we have with dreams. Here's Joseph and Pharaoh again. The dreams of Pharaoh are one and the same. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he is about to do. So Joseph was very careful not to be like, I am the grand dream interpreter. Come to me and I will make a profit and I will sell my books and CDs to you. He was just saying, whatever, I have a gift, but I know where it comes from. Here it is again, just Daniel being given, I think we all have an ability to have, to a certain level, a skill in dream interpretation. I think some people actually have an awesomer skill than others. Mark those people out in your life, because you might need to go to them, especially if you're a dreamer. To these four men, this was Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. He just mentioned Daniel there, which is kind of interesting. Daniel, who the king also called Belshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Here's Daniel again. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. So this is one of those, like, open-eye dreams, because only Daniel saw it. The other guys were like, what's up? Like, why are you freaking out? So I was left alone. Oh, they were still filled with terror, sorry, but they ran. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left in me, and my face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. Interesting how we, if we were to have this dream, would call it what we would call it, like a night terror or a nightmare. And sadly, most people at this point would give the enemy, small e or big e, the enemy the credit for this dream. Well, we should go into spiritual warfare because it's so evil. I was so afraid. Then I heard him speaking, which was an angel. We would have given credit to the wrong team. And as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. So first he had an open eye vision, and now he's having a dream. Crazy. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I'm about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you. And when he said this, I stood up trembling. He's still fearful, but it's a God dream. Pretty interesting. Then he continued, love this, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. So anybody who is hungry for more dreams, more clear dreams, better interpretation for dreams, you can have that. I feel like God is actually today, and what we're going to pray for in a couple of minutes, is God is wanting to reward your curiosity. He's wanting to reward your hunger in this area. He's saying, no, it's not bad to desire dreams, because some people are like, oh, whatever, I don't really dream, but other people dream, so I'll just leave the dreamers. Like, they can do all the dreaming, and I'll do, I don't know, something else. I'll pray for people or something. But I think that God's like, well, no, I think all the gifts are available to you, and so why don't we share them? God isn't going to run out of dreams. It's not like he has like a vault where he only has a certain number of dreams, and once he hands them out, he's like, shoot. Or he has to divide them in half to like give them all out equally. He has tons of them, and he's wanting to share them. This is the part that kills me. Once you actually become a dreamer and God trusts you with his dreams and you start to have that conversation, because remember, this conversation that's going on is happening in a dream. Anyone see Inception, by the way? Did it totally mess you up or what? Some people, actually, it's funny, some people saw it and they're like, that totally creeped me out. I was like, I watched the whole movie, Ask Andrew. I was like, thank God someone made a dream, or made a movie about how I dream. I was like, that's exactly what happened. I can't believe it's on the screen. I was so excited. Everybody must see this. This is what happens in my head. The dream within the dream. My friend Melissa Bentham, or Melissa Long, and I will also be like, we try to see how many levels we can be. We'll be like, I had a dream within a dream within a dream. Oh! This one dream that I had, I was in a dream. I was hanging around. Everything was in twos. There were two beds and two windows and two of this and two of that. I never really figured out what that meant. Anyway, sometimes I just let things go by. Like, it's so obvious. The symbols are like right there, and I'm like, I just can't even bother. And God's like, that's fine. I'll give you another one. Anyway, in the dream, I was with somebody, and I'm like, I'm really tired. I need to go to sleep. And they were like, that's okay. They lay me down in the bed, put two blankets on me, of course, put two blankets on me, and I fell asleep in the dream, and I woke up in my bed. And I was like, shut up. I just did, like, a dream swap or something. And then it took me a little while to figure out, like, where I was and if I really was in a dream or a dream within a dream. Anyway. Here's the part that I love about people who are dreamers, and they begin to trust Holy Spirit with their dreams, and God then begins to trust them as a dreamer to give them things, and they're not going to be like, this country will fall because I had a dream that this country will fall. God's like, no, shut up. I did not. That's not what I meant. Because, check this out. This is so kindergarten, and I'll explain to you why. Still the angel. But the prince of Persian kingdom resisted me for like 21 days. And then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there because of the king of Persia. And now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for this vision concerns a time to come. We have a small group. We love our small group. They're all in their 20s or so. And we always say, yes, everyone always has a good excuse to be late. It's always a good excuse. It's never a bad excuse to be late. Here, the angel, for whatever reason, feels like it's even necessary to explain his tardiness to Daniel. It was, yeah, I was like, on my way, man, there was traffic. You should have seen this jerk Persian king guy. I was like, I was on my way. But then Michael, like, totally bailed me out, so that was handy. And now I'm here, and I'm going to explain this to you. Angels are angels. They're like celestial beings. I'm pretty sure they don't need to explain to us what took them so long. And yet Daniel was so revered. That's what I love. Daniel's like, well, I've been praying about this for like a while now. You just hurry up. And the angel's like, I'm so sorry, man. I'm sorry, man. It was like, I couldn't find my keys. And like, here is how to catch a dream. You know how dreams just kind of feel like they're like butterflies. You wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, that meant something. It was so important. And then you're like, breakfast. You're like, what? So here is something that we're all going to say together. Are you ready? I believe dreams contain a valid message. We're going to do that one more time because some people were actually reading it for the first time. They're like, I do? Am I saying this? Okay. I believe dreams contain a valid message. I actually stole the first 3 points from my sister-in-law, who did an amazing talk on dreams once at youth. And I actually wrote these down, and I still have them in my cell phone, because they were that important to me at the time and still now. This is because a lot of people will either brush off their dreams as just being like some pizza that gave them indigestion, or they were actually like make it into too much of a thing or too much of a problem. They're like, I have to dissect the whole thing. I have to understand what it means. It's just saying to yourself and to God, I believe, I trust you, God, that my dreams are giving me a valid message. That's totally a cool thing to believe. And then ask God to speak to you through your dreams. It's very, very simple stuff. Pray before you go to sleep, or just pray in general. It doesn't have to be like a religious thing, like before you go to sleep, pray for 5 minutes and then you'll have good dreams. Here's another really, really, really simple thing to do. Get a dream journal, or as I've begun to find is a lot easier, get a dream Word doc because I can type a lot faster. Sometimes I actually even close my eyes, because if you can type with your eyes closed, I will close my eyes and replay the dream and type it out, because writing, as I'm writing it, I'm like, I forgot what the next thought was. So typing it out for me is a lot better. And then find a friend or a leader to start to exercise your dream interpretation muscle. It's a muscle. So if you've never interpreted a dream before, it doesn't mean you can't. Interpreted? Actually, you know what's funny? I actually put I can't remember. I put some other word there and I'm like, what? Brain is like checked out. So if you exercise that muscle, you will actually get better at it. When Andrew and I were dating, I told him that I had crazy dreams, and he said, oh, that's so convenient, because I've been gifted with dream interpretation. At that time, he probably interpreted, like, you know, a couple of dreams, like, really well. But as he starts to say that, and as I start to trust him and tell him my dreams, he becomes what he just said he was. He becomes a dream interpreter. So if you've never dreamt before, if you're one of those people who just doesn't remember their dreams, everybody dreams, by the way. Everybody dreams. You have to, or else you die, literally. Literally, you die, because you need the REM sleep. I won't get into it. Anyway, so if you never remember your dreams, it doesn't mean that you're not a dreamer. It just means you haven't used that muscle yet to remember them, I mean. So that's okay. There's, like, hope for everybody. Now, I want, quickly what we're going to do, and you guys are going to help me with this, is I want first, I'm going to pray for two different groups of people quickly. The first is people who feel that they wouldn't consider themselves to be dreamers. So they either don't have dreams, they rarely have dreams, or they don't remember their dreams, and they want to have dreams more. So can those people, and only those people, stand up? If you already have lots of dreams, you're like, I want more. Don't be greedy. We'll pray for you in a second. Just sit down. So this is only for people who, A, don't have dreams, have few dreams, or really can't remember their dreams very well. Can you guys stand up? Be brave. Be brave. Oh, this is good. Oh, baby. And the people around them, and you're all around some of them, can you just go over them? Just put a hand. It doesn't have to be like, poof. Just put a hand just on their shoulder, on their elbow. Avoid putting their hand, yeah, on their bum, unless you're married to them. Well, that might just even be distracting, so. And I really feel like there is an anointing here tonight, and an exciting anointing to start dreaming big dreams. And like the crazy dreams that we're talking about, like dreams within dreams, inception, crazy dreams. That's totally cool. All that. And you'll be able to remember them in Technicolor, okay? So Holy Spirit, and as I'm praying, groups, pray as well, okay? This doesn't exempt you from praying yourself. Right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that the anointing, because I believe it's a gift, it's not just whether you're born with it or not born with it. I pray that the anointing to have dreams and to remember your dreams and to have clear dreams would fall upon these people right now, and it would not leave them for any reason, God. Father, I pray that if there's any area in their lives where they have shut dreams off, either on purpose or by accident, just by saying, you know, I just don't want to dream anymore, or these dreams are frustrating, God, I pray that you would reveal that to them right now in their memories, and that they would just quickly say, like a word of repentance, oh God, I didn't realize that I had shut that off. I just pray that you'd open that door again. It's almost like the data in an iPhone. It's always available, but you get to turn it on and off. It's always available, but you get to turn it on and off. So, Father, I just pray that you would activate those dreams in people's lives, that they would have, that you would recall those dreams to them in their minds when they wake up. Father, that they would be able to write them down and journal about them clearly. And God, in time, you would start to give them interpretations and meanings to their dreams as well, that they would go to bed excited about what you are going to talk to them about during the night, Father. In Jesus' name, I pray that this would be a turning point for them. And from this point on, that they will have dreams and they will call themselves and refer to themselves as dreamers in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now expect big things. I didn't pray that for nothing, okay? Now I want everybody to sit down except for the people who feel that they can't interpret dreams. This was something that got me for years and years and years because I was a big dreamer, but the dreams that I would have would actually terrify and frustrate me to the point that I was like, what is the point of having dreams if I don't know what they mean? I actually shut off my dream life for a period of like a couple of years, actually. Well, no, maybe about a year. And I realized all of a sudden, I'm like, I never have dreams anymore. And that's weird. Anybody who would know me from when I was younger would be like, that's odd. And I actually just, I repented. And I basically, I don't know, I guess God just flipped the switch back on because then I started having dreams again. But anybody who is like, I have dreams, I'm fine in the dream section, but I feel like I get frustrated or I don't have any sort of clear understanding of what my dreams mean, like hardly at all. If that is you, be brave and stand up. So you have dreams, you can remember dreams, that's not your problem, but you're like, I do not have a sweet clue what this means. And that kind of makes me a little bit angry because I'm like, I have this gift, but I don't know how to use it. That is totally a valid feeling. I felt that for years. Sometimes I still feel that. And again, people around these people, and you're all around one of these people, so y'all are part of this, just run over to them. If they're by themselves, run over to them, get around them, put a hand on them. Again, shoulder, elbow, somewhere in there. And we're just going to pray for you for a couple of seconds. And again, groups, you are not exempt. You are praying too. Holy Spirit, we pray that the anointing, because again, it's a gift that you give freely of dream interpretation, would fall upon these people. And God, that they would actually be laughing at themselves about how easy it is for them to interpret a dream. God, I pray that they would be able to interpret not only their own dreams, but also the dreams of other people, that other people would mention their dreams. And it would almost be like a language translator, that as soon as they would hear their dreams in their ears, their brain would immediately come up with an answer. Sometimes it would even surprise them that they're like, oh, that obviously has to do with your finances because it's a dream about puppies. And they and the other people would be shocked to hear that they have the answer, Father. We understand that all interpretation comes from you, so we don't have to try at it. We don't have to stir it up within ourselves. It's a gift that you give us. And Father, I pray that you would even be able to work that muscle in us so that the more we interpret, the more we would be able to interpret. God, I pray that these people would go boldly around saying, actually, I interpret dreams. That is something that I am good at doing, even if they've never done it before, and that their faith would be made manifest in what they just said. In Jesus' name, amen.